Bradshaw pumping, firing downfield. There goes Stallworth. He pulls it in at the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5, and it's a touchdown for Pittsburgh on the ball to Stallworth. And Stallworth beat Rod Perry. Oh, did he beat him? And the Steelers fire right back on the arm of Terry Bradshaw.
Well, the Cowboys need a miracle. Roger takes the snap, pumps it once. He's going long, down the near sideline for Drew Pearson. Pearson makes the catch at the 5, touchdown! Staubach hit Pearson on a 50-yard touchdown. Would you believe it?
Yes, there you have it. A look ahead to NFL Week 10 by looking back at some of the matchups between these teams.
That's what it was.
Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program presented by our pals at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Nailed it there. Handsome, you were making faces. You didn't just like that little
look
back?
No, I did. I loved it.
Why? What was your issue with it?
No, I mean, I'm like, because you just mouthed to me.
What the hell was that?
It was the Steelers-Rams, and he's like, we're really like celebrating the Steelers again? Like, that's how we're
starting.
That's
how this show is going to start. What's next?
Like, okay,
grape flavors of candy? Like,
I just showed you. It started with after the Giant Stadium was overtaken by a black cat.
I was recalling
that it also was once taken over by crazed dogs.
And also, how nice to see those two teams wearing uniforms that would have looked a whole lot prettier if they were wearing them this week.
Yes, indeed.
Exactly.
Anyhow, like I say, hello, welcome to the Week 10 preview.
Just going to breeze right past that, huh?
Yeah, forget about that.
You want me to dig in on uniforms?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't mind you just acknowledging what I said. And
I said that would be great. Listen, we're off to a rough start already.
All right, I'll lay out.
Hank's critique.
Guide us.
So you don't like that we just started the show with that?
No, I very much enjoyed it.
You know what? I don't even know where to go. I'm going to say hello.
He's got his chest puffed out. His Dolphins got their first win.
Now
he's coming with a bunch of, in honor of Zaxby's, he's coming with zingers.
Yep, exactly.
All right, that's what he's doing
some
here.
Wings.
I don't think that was actually supposed to happen. The Dolphins weren't supposed to win.
Well, I think that that's not the problem. I mean, they're still on track. They just need to lose to the Jets in future, which is going to be hard.
We had that very discussion here, and we said, and I think we all agreed, we were like, there's no way they're losing to the Jets twice. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
Their fan base won't allow it. The Jets aren't good enough. It can't happen.
I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Rosen gets the call for the next Jets matchup, though.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I think, and I said this the other day, and I'll say it to you again now, I feel that off the top of my head, and I haven't done the research to verify this is the case, but I feel this is, in the Super Bowl era, since I've been watching football, this is the most truly atrocious teams that any season has had. I know that they're often, those two teams are playing each other. They're fighting it out for the first overall with how bad they are. But, I mean, there are like six really putrid teams out there. Yeah. You go Dolphins,
Jets Bengals,
Redskins.
Bears are kind of in
that category.
No, the Bears are not.
They're very poor. The Falcons.
They're a bog standard bad team.
Falcons, I'll give you.
Falcons
I'll give you.
Probably there.
Yeah, Falcons, I'll give you. Not Bears.
And I know no one wants to acknowledge this because so many people stuck their necks out with this one, but the Browns are 2-6 as well.
Yeah.
They look terrible.
Anyhow, let's say hellos to everybody.
None of that happened. You do your introduction like you planned.
Here he is. You watch him on NFL Now doing gangbusters work on NFL Network. You hear him up in the radio booth with Daniel Jeremiah calling those Los Angeles forever Chargers.
That's right.
Games. You hear him there. You hear him. Oh, you know what? Programming alert for those people who have iHeartRadio and or are in the LA area on Friday.
That's right.
I'm sitting in on the greatest radio show in all the land.
4 hours.
Petros and Money.
Wow.
With Matt Money Smith. What's happening, fella?
Looking forward to that broadcast. There it is. Find my single. Looking forward to that broadcast, Dave. And because I'm headed up to, I'll be off the air tomorrow. Petros will be flying, not a solo mission. I'm not sure who's filling in for me, but I'll be headed up for Thursday Night Football. It's been great this year. Primetime, we have had a gangbusters year. It'll be Chargers, Raiders, both teams streaking, trying to stay relevant in
Last
the
time
West.
Ever in Oakland.
You know what? As someone who clearly I guess I have a bit of a bias. How can I not? I'm around the facility. I'm around the players. But
Maddie, we're rooting for you to win.
Raider week is fun. Raider week is fun. Like, these two teams, they don't like each other. They embrace the rivalry. It's one of the things I think that might have been the beginning of my disconnect as a Bear fan, was I loved Aaron Rodgers embracing and wanting to put it on the Bears. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I loved listening to Philip Rivers this week saying, oh, gosh, I can't wait to get up there. My last time in the Coliseum, I got memories there, man.
You sure golly, that's not Tom Brady?
I love it up there. It is, and I love that. Like, that's
of course, what that's what fans want.
Exactly.
We don't need the jersey exchange between the two high-end stars at the do that in the bowels of the stadium, out of sight of the public. We fans are deluding ourselves to believe that you believe in these rivalries as much as we do. Of course, it dates way back before, but my earliest memory, 1980, in the AFC title game, the great Air Coryell Dan Fouts team hosting those Raiders, and they get knocked off by Jim Plunkett and company.
Your earliest memory was when you were 24 years old.
See,
that makes
zingers.
Me older. Yeah, he's red hot, man. Give the kid his due.
He's got him. Your team's ice cold. It's just red hot.
I do. We're not picking that game money Thursday night football because it is on TNF.
Let's do it right.
Well, listen, I know you always go with the Chargers anyway, but I happen to think if you, and we're going to get into the playoff picture in just a second here.
You called the Chargers upset over the Packers this week.
I did call that upset, and I also think if you look at how it sets up, they are right back where the Chargers always are at the midway point in the season. Wow, they're really going to have to pull off a big rally. Fortunately for them, they get the Raiders twice, they get the Chiefs twice. They have every opportunity to get back into the mix of this thing.
As do the Raiders.
And the Raiders.
Yeah, and the Raiders. Whoever, are also
who thought
in
the West was up
too.
For grabs? It is. Right.
If the Raiders win this game, they still play at KC. They play the Chargers again. But those are their three toughest games remaining. They have absolutely a very strong chance. They have the easiest path of any AFC wildcard contender right now. They have, let's not indulge, they're going to knock off the
Bills,
Chiefs.
Maybe. Bills look like they got a pretty easy path.
No, they do not.
We'll
go.
They do.
We'll go over that. They really don't. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But that's this
just
Thursday night.
They play the Steelers. God forbid they have the Steelers on the stage.
Ooh, Mason Rudolph.
First of all. Let me tell you.
That was good.
the guy who just vanquished Ryan Fitzmagic a week ago. Yes. All right, we're going to dig in on the AFC playoff picture, and I'll clarify it. First, let's say hi to the guy.
It's going to be a good show.
The Londoner.
It's going to be a good one.
The Londoner who I think tepidly continues to stand by the Miami Dolphins with their one win there. It's handsome Hank Hodgson. What's happening, fella?
I'm doing well, thank you, Dave. It's
a pleasure to see you once again. Look at the Dolphins socks and everything.
I got
really going
on,
all
put
in.
The socks
Victory
on
Wednesday.
Today. Why not? It's the only one I'm going to be able to celebrate this season. Why not? Put the socks on.
I want to talk about Cam, what's going on there, the proper change that the Jaguars have made now. They have gone there.
They are. Good camera work.
I don't like the new age Dolphin. He doesn't wear that helmet. Safety first. I thought that was a big priority.
Yeah, especially when it comes to my socks as well.
That's right. That's right. So let's dig into it right now since we've already broached the subject. It's time for the Fresh Takes presented by Zaxby's. A reminder, it is the home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads, and now sprinkled with the spice of handsome zingers on this DDFP. Today's question is, what team currently holding a playoff spot in the AFC and the NFC will not be holding that playoff spot and be watching the playoffs on TV? I'll start with you, Matt Moneysmith.
I think the Bills make it. I'll just start there. I think that's what you want to go after. I think they get
10
wins.
Not necessarily. I think that they're in more jeopardy than we assume. We're all prisoners of the moment. We look at, they're 6-2. They're playing well.
I'm not
they're
the moment,
not.
Though. They've got the Jets, the Dolphins. They get the Steelers at home.
Let me go through it. They are in Cleveland this week.
Okay.
Let me start with that game. I think they're going to lose that game.
Okay.
I think they're going to lose that game.
But would then you be surprised if they won it?
No, but then they go. I think it's a big game for them though because they do have a couple of cupcakes. But then they have three
cupcakes.
Let me tell you the gauntlet that they are going with. They go at Dallas. Ravens come to them.
Right.
At Pittsburgh. At New England. How many wins do you see in that?
One.
One win, right.
Yeah.
So if they lose this Browns game.
But then they get the Jets and they get the Dolphins.
I hear you. If they lose to the Browns, that's going to be a major harbinger of bad things to come. They must get this game.
I don't feel like the Cowboys are that formidable.
You think they're going to go down there and knock them off?
Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, that's all. I think that defense is so good. And I know when I mentioned that last, the Eagles came in and got after them pretty good. But I just think that defense is so good that they can keep them in games and they could have that season like they had 2 years ago when they went 9-7, didn't turn the ball over, scored just enough points to lean on their defense and got in. I mean, I think Who's the other AFC team right now? It's the Bills and the Colts.
It would be the Colts.
Yeah. So I feel good about that. I think that's probably what it's going to be.
Colts, they have a kind. I mean, the
AFC
South.
How long Jacoby Brissett's out for?
If you don't, if you don't buy that those teams aren't, if the Texans have separated themselves from the AFC South pack, I mean, that's a little bit of a dicey opinion to hold right now. I know a lot of people have said, next up, the Stars for Deshaun Watson and company. But of course, the Colts, if Adam Vinatieri makes a field goal in Heinz Field, that's the story. And the Texans are going to be left to scratch and claw without J.J. Watt the rest of the way there in the wild card mix. As it is, if the AFC South teams, and you assume they're going to, that's my assumption, they're going to keep knocking each other down the rest of the way. The Jags and the Titans are not garbage teams. They're going to get some wins in there. I think the Raiders, I continue to say, the Raiders have a real shot if they beat the Chargers. If the Chargers win, then it really is a mess, especially if the X factor of this wild card chase is going to be, dare I say it, the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they already hold wins against the Chargers and now the Colts. If they beat the Bills in Pittsburgh, 9-7, if that's the threshold, Pittsburgh will have tiebreakers over all those teams
No, they wouldn't. Remember, it goes to AFC record. So if it's a three-way...
Before it goes to head-to-head, I don't think that's
only
right.
Only if it's a two-way tie. Only if it's a tie between those two teams.
Oh, if it's multiple teams.
So now you have to go to AFC record, which is where... Because that's what got the Chargers bounced 2 years ago when the Bills got in. Even though they beat them head-to-head, Bills got in ahead of them. So that's where the head-to-heads don't matter as much. But that's where the Chargers would miss out, and the Raiders would be in a better position if they finished tied. That's why I think AFC West... I don't think you're going to get two teams. I think it's whoever wins that division because, as you mentioned, the AFC South gauntlet, that's the AFC West right now. The Chargers still play the Raiders and Chiefs twice apiece. The Raiders and Chiefs still have a head-to-head. So that's what's going to determine. Right. I think one of those teams will be probably a 10-6, maybe even a 9-7 division winner.
Well, the Chiefs, you know, they are not world beaters, and I know it's laughable now. Again, prisoners of the moment, we've seen the Chiefs. They were forecasted to be in the mix for the Super Bowl chase. The Raiders were anything but. But if the Raiders, if they beat the Chargers, then they go to Arrowhead, it's not implausible. I know people want to laugh, but that could absolutely happen with Josh Jacobs. The evidence that we've seen four times over, really, they slowed down Dalvin Cook pretty well on Sunday. But I absolutely buy that Josh Jacobs could get on a roll in Arrowhead. And, you know, I know, again, the Raiders are unlikely to do it. But
their defense is terrible.
Well, guess what? So is the Chiefs. So they're even on
that count.
Well,
that's what I'm saying, though. That's the one issue, I think, with who would you rather have in a shootout? You know, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy and you know neither team can slow the other down, do you want to lean on Derek Carr or do you want to lean on Pat Mahomes?
I don't know. That's our guy Derek Carr doing nicely. Handsome. Let's tackle the NFC side of things.
I think right now the 5-6 seeds in the NFC are the Vikings and Seahawks.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's right.
It's hard to see either of those teams getting dislodged. I mean, in both cases, so looking at the other two divisions, the Saints are streets ahead of anyone else in the South. The Cowboys are currently leading the East.
But do we think they're better than
the
Eagles?
No, I think it's going to go the way I predicted. It'll go Eagles are going to end up winning the division. And, in fact, they're going to disrupt the wild card side of things as well. And that's bad for the Vikings.
If the Eagles win because they have
the head-to-head.
Exactly. By process of elimination, I think the Vikings are the ones that are probably most vulnerable at the moment.
That's right.
On the one hand, I think that's a team that could, if everything clicks, they're a team that could be, could potentially be the type of wild card team that then goes and knocks off a division winner and makes a run in January.
The Vikings?
I think they could be. I think if everything works.
Kirk Cousins. Well, I mean, I know people point at that all the time. Then he needs to wash off that stink by doing it in a big spot. All right.
But, I mean, if he gets them into that position, then he gives himself the opportunity to do that. And it also isn't just him. You've got Dalvin Cook, and you've got a defense that is capable of, on their day, playing with anyone. But I think that's probably the team, to me, that looks like if someone was going to shake loose, if the Eagles suddenly rally and bounce the Cowboys, the Vikings would be the ones that would fall out.
Oh, I got news for you. The rally is underway. I told you that was what was going to be. Don't panic, Philadelphia people. Here they come.
It'll come.
The big win for them was, the one we circled was, the bellwether game potentially was in Buffalo. They destroyed Buffalo up there. They ran all over them. By the way, that's another bad sign for Buffalo. They didn't stop Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders. okay, that's fine against the Eagles. Then Adrian Peterson ran all over, if that's an issue for them, then Nick Chubb, presumably, if you're following trends, then maybe Nick Chubb has a good day on Sunday.
Could be.
And that also sets up poorly against Zeke Elliott and the teams that we talked about
already.
Yeah,
I'm starting to reconsider that now.
The Vikings.
Doing the math in my head, I think I am starting to reconsider the Bills.
And we saw at the top there the Hail Mary, the first ever Hail Mary, yep. Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson, of course, an obvious offensive push-off. And I don't just say that to you guys and Cower. I've said that to Roger Staubach and Drew Pearson as well. They debate the subject. They aren't
surprisingly.
Sure. They don't know if it was OPI. Hmm. I think you could throw the red challenge flag on that and it would get overturned.
Maybe we should.
Listen, that's a good call. That would be a fun game to play with Al River on. Would you overturn this historic moment based
overturn
on the evidence?
Great historic call. Moments.
That would be a
great
fun
call.
Game to play. Let's see if we can get a referee to do that, Eddie Spaghetti. And yeah, I think that's a... now
so
let's
the Rams are out.
Sir, the Rams better beat
There's
Pittsburgh.
No room.
Rams better beat Pittsburgh. If they don't win that one... They still are traveling up to San Francisco, and they play
Seattle
the first of two Seattle. They
lost the first one up at Seattle.
Right. Yeah. So they better take care of business this week against the Niners. The Seahawks beat the Niners. That muddies who's going to win the division. But either way, the Rams, like I say, better
they've got to beat
win in
two,
Pittsburgh,
two
or they're in some jeopardy. So I think the Vikings are the one that's out. That's the
so
team
who takes their place.
The Cowboys.
One of the NFC East teams.
Okay. I think the Eagles will beat the Cowboys in the rematch. That's bad news, like I say, for the Vikings because of the head-to-head, but also would be, I guess, moot because I also think the Cowboys are going to beat the Vikings.
So what about what about the NFC West beating each other up? Seattle
I think
still has
Seattle
two against
gets
the Niners.
One.
Rams still have one against the Niners and one against the Seahawks.
I think Seattle gets it, and I think the Rams watch from home.
Okay.
It's okay. But you think the Niners win the division?
I do, but they do have
since August.
They got a tough. They've got a tough path here. They need to survive, but just in time. Those offensive linemen are coming back, if they vanquish. Listen, if Bruce Arians, if they can somehow steal that one or even tie that game up in Seattle last week, it's a wrap on the division. They could the Niners could straight up lose to the Seahawks both times, and they still would have the edge on.
I think what
division.
The story is that the NFC playoff field. You're going to get some fantastic playoff.
Yeah, final three weeks are going to be nuts.
The final three weeks of the regular season will be crazy in the NFC. And then straight into the playoffs. Like every single one of those games is going to be unmissable. You're not going to get one of those wild card games where you're like, okay, well, I don't need to watch this because I know how that's going to come.
Well, it's convenient that we haven't brought them up yet as we put a wrap on this week's edition of Fresh Takes presented by Zaxby's, the team in the NFC that we didn't hit yet. That is in the mix, the Carolina Panthers. Handsome Hank, I start with you on this one. What do you make of all that's happening in Carolina right now? Cam Newton getting shut down. I assume any football fan has heard the news by now. The foot continues to not be working. People are now projecting that this is it for Cam in the powder blue or whatever you call it. I think they call it Panther blue, to be accurate.
They should do.
Allen in, and the locals seem just fine with this. Oh, we love Kyle Allen. I think it shows the limits of the transitive property. Just because Tom Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe is not an indication that the same thing's about to happen in Carolina. That's my take on it. How say you?
I would agree. I mean, I think people are very quick to sort of match up the fact that his contract, I think it's pretty easy for them to get out of Cam's contract and equally easy for another team to trade for him after this season. I think they save money. I don't think it's a huge hit for a team that would trade for him. So people are putting those two things together. Again, I would go back to the point of the Panthers are going to be picking somewhere around the sort of early to middle of the draft in the teens, exactly. Yeah. How do you find, there's a number of quarterbacks that are going to hit the market this year, but are any of them better than Cam? That's the work that you've got to do. Or are you going to be able to draft a quarterback that's better than Cam? When it comes to it and you actually get a chance to evaluate all of that, I don't see how you don't bring Cam back in the last year of his deal, because you're probably not going to find anyone better than him. And yes, he's had injuries, but he's now 2 years removed from those shoulder surgeries, which means that hopefully he's healthier than he's been. He's been given a year to get his foot better. And you have 1 year and you make your decision after that. I don't know why you would need to rush it at this point. And he's clearly, he would be the best quarterback on the market available for the likes of the Bears or any of the teams that sort of miss out on the draft.
Well, remember, it's you don't, you know, you always hear about the league, you don't budget per player, you budget position. Mm. So you can keep Cam and Kyle Allen, your quarterback number is still leaves you plenty of room to sign whatever other needs you may have in free agency or extending your own players. So I don't see the benefit unless Kyle Allen wins out, sweeps the Saints, they win the South, right, wins a playoff game. Okay, now we're talking. But just finding your way to 8-8, 9-7, and missing the playoffs, I don't think that's that warrants trading Cam and going into the Kyle Allen future.
That's right.
The other big question mark is, do you have the same coach and do you have the same GM in Carolina at the end of the season? None of us know the answer to that question now, and that's the unknown that could make someone come in and say, I want to clear it all out and start again.
It's funny how you bring that up, because I didn't really have much of a sense of that. I was on Charlotte radio this morning, and the hosts
Humble
brought that
there
up.
There from Dave. Of course you were, Dave.
Good Charlotte.
Charlotte radio.
Yeah, listen, hey, breaking news. Get Damashek on the phone. Right. He'll make sense of what's happening. They said that if they really presented it as though that Ron Rivera is really in some jeopardy if he doesn't get to the postseason, which seems cuckoo to me. Same answer with Cam Newton. Who are you getting to replace Ron Rivera? But the other thing is, to your point about Kyle Allen and what he does the rest of the way, I think that based on the uncertainty, and that's the bottom line with Cam Newton, it would be rash and foolish to make a decision on Cam when you don't know the medical future of the guy is. And unless I'm mistaken, none of you aren't doctors.
I'm not.
And neither am I.
I used to be.
Were you?
I just quit.
Spaghetti?
No.
What's happening, Spaghetti?
I'm not a doctor. I can't discuss his foot injury.
Well, you can have a... That doesn't prevent anybody else from weighing
in. You can discuss it.
You can discuss it.
They just wouldn't take your advice.
Yeah. And they probably wouldn't let you operate on
the line. I think a name you guys haven't mentioned, though, just to sprinkle it in there, Will Grier is local. They
That's what I was going to say.
I think they actually do the option of Will Grier or Kyle Allen, and why let Cam walk for nothing? That's my only counter to this.
Well, because the answer is, I hear you going into 2020 and to see how he's going to be. I don't think you just say, we don't know if one's ever going to look like one ever again. I think you would have to know with some sense from a doctor doctors. Okay, the foot's all the way back.
You know who else is local?
But Will Grier is by the end of 2019, I think they have to run him out there because that also informs.
Yeah.
But I think at some point, if part of the calculation is going to be in the offseason.
What is Kyle Allen, 5-1?
I don't know. I just think you have to see the guy before you say.
I think he's 5-1. You can't just run a rookie out there because
you want to.
Because you want to see what you got.
I guess if it's week 16 and they're in a playoff spot. I just also think that that is going to dictate to some degree if Cam is up in the air. We don't know. Well, listen, we love this kid. We love Will Grier, and Kyle Allen at minimum will get us to Will Grier. I think that's a possibility.
You know who else is local?
Who?
Clemson's quarterback.
Ah.
In 2021.
So just stink it up for a year?
Stink it up for a year.
This is the solution of all the have-not teams out there. Just kick it ahead to next year. We'll get one of those guys. What's going to stand in the way of us getting one of those guys?
Well, that's how the Panthers fell into Cam as well.
Meanwhile, you got a Jacksonville quarterback that was taken in the sixth round that people are, hey, you got to trade that guy now.
Professional transition.
He's a starter now in the league. Right. You can't be keeping him around sitting behind Nick Foles.
Pro transition there by Matt Money Smith. I'm not surprised. Let's talk
Nor
about
should
those
you be.
Jags.
This is what you've got to look forward to when you're on
That's
LA
right.
radio
Keep
tomorrow.
It moving.
That's right.
Keep it moving.
Yeah, I'm just going
to
sit there.
From Charlotte to LA.
4 hours of this. Talking Charlotte and Jacksonville football in Los Angeles.
Remind me to tune
Lakers
in.
Lakers have who? Yeah. What do they got going
Money,
on?
Money. Man, Handsome really didn't like those clips at the start of DDFP the other day, did he?
Let's hash it out.
Yeah, let's roll calls let's for the next hour on that.
Dial me in. Right. I'd be thrilled to be on
That would be
LA
a fun
Come in.
Let's get the Handsome one in
Come
there.
Out to the Valley. Enjoy Burbank. It's beautiful this time of year.
Money, what's your professional take on Gardner Minshew sitting down and Nick Foles getting in there?
Makes sense. I think they would have done it anyway. I don't think it mattered that he, won or lost that game against
the
Texans.
I think it made it nice for Doug Marone.
Made it much
Doug
easier.
Marone.
But, I think you forget, and I can't remember who. It might have been Will Brinson. I don't remember who put it up on Twitter, but it was a great point. I was thinking the same thing. We forget one of the great throws of the season was the throw by Nick Foles that he broke his clavicle on. The guy was playing great football. I have no problem with them going back to him just to see what's happening with the Bulls and this team that's got a great defense. And as you said, the South is likely going to cannibalize itself. So get back after it. There's plenty of time. I mean, come on, it's been great. He played great, and it's not like he played poorly against the Texans, but get Foles back out there and see whether or not you can make a run.
Oh, I disagree. I was up in time to see the second half of
well,
the
early
game.
Well,
the second half,
got away from
Dave,
it.
That's
nice.
Right. Well, listen, I needed a nice rest so I could focus in on the rest of the ball game.
I mean,
game.
It's not like it was at 3 a.m. No, it was 6:30.
And also the clocks had changed, so it was actually 7:30.
7:30, exactly.
You don't get involved in how I spend my weekend.
Up.
The point is, Gardner Minshew, it's fine. And I am a pedigree snob, as I always like to say. And I know Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, so that's the big...
Ben Roethlisberger's
I'm
two.
I'm sorry. Just
Terry Bradshaw's three.
Listen, I'm a pedigree snob. If I can get a QB from Miami of Ohio, then I'm going to get a G-darn QB from Miami of Ohio.
I don't care where he matriculated. I care what he looked like when he was there doing the student-athlete jazz. Now... I think the Gardner Minshew, here's what pro football players on defense say all the time. They always point this out. Quarterbacks who are backups because they're good. They're good enough to make an NFL roster, and they can surprise you for a few weeks, for a week to 5 weeks.
That's their job.
At some point, defensive coordinators and NFL players figure out, oh, this is what his tendency is in this situation or that. And then they stop that, and backup QBs versus high-end quarterbacks have no adjustment to that. That's it. Well, I've given you all my bag of tricks. I have nowhere else to go, like Richard Gere in Officer and a Gentleman.
But you can't make
and I don't know
like
what Gardner,
a statement.
I don't know.
Don't know if Gardner Minshew is that guy.
Tony Romo was a backup for a couple of years.
All right.
And turned into a great quarterback.
It's the difference between, Tony Romo or someone who can be elevated
without
into
the pedigree,
a starting position.
Undrafted, Eastern
Illinois. Or, the career backup.
Okay,
that
that's one.
That hanging around.
Then you have Tom Brady is two, and then that's it. Those are the
true.
Examples.
Mark Brunell had a nice career. He was a backup up in Green Bay. Matt Hasselbeck had a nice career, took the Seahawks to the Super Bowl.
Okay, that's
a backup.
My point is here, or my guess is this is how it shakes out. Minshew in Jacksonville under center in week one, 2020. Nick Foles in Chicago under center, starting QB week one.
How does he get that?
They'll purge that contract. There's enough enthusiasm to Money's point what you're paying a position group
ahead.
And everything else.
You've got to project ahead that he's then going to be back.
We don't even know that Doug Marone's going to be there, so I would imagine.
But what if Foles plays well? If Doug Marone plays well here to close the season, they stay relevant until the end of the year. You know, there's a reason why they went after that veteran QB. It actually speaks to your point that, hey, we need a vet. We've got this great defense. We've got a great running game. If we can just have someone to settle that position. Right. Unlike Blake Bortles, who seems to make a critical mistake when we could least afford it, let's get a steady hand there. That's what Foles is.
They're
going to bring all those guys back next year.
Foles could be one of the additions to that list. I mean, Foles has been considered a backup quarterback up until now in his career. He could be the next one on that list.
You know what? I've been pretty consistent in saying Nick Foles will be one and done in Jacksonville. But to what you guys are saying, I think you're turning me around on this because if he plays well, Jacksonville's not going to give him away, and if he stinks, who's going to want him? Then it will prove that, as we always talk about, there's some weird magic powers with the dark green of that Eagles jersey that do not transfer to any of the other 31 teams.
It's the same story Money was telling about the Panthers quarterback situation. You've got Foles, you've got Minshew on a sixth round contract. You keep the two of them until you can't.
All right. Well, I guess you've turned me around on
all
the.
All right.
That's success.
On the Jags.
I don't think I've ever changed Dave's mind on anything.
Do we do it then? Do we jump right in? Oh, no. I don't want to get to the Rich Allen flag picks just yet because somebody who is a muckety muck here at the NFL deals a lot with all the international business, the games in London, the games in Mexico City and beyond.
Gave me a tour of that fine city when I was there.
Are we talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I did. We had a great time, didn't we?
Darn right we did.
And you know what we're going to do next weekend?
Mexico City.
We're
going to
have a great time in CDMX.
Look at you
say.
Two. World travelers. And
world
then
travelers and world eaters.
Getting down a day early for it, as a matter of fact.
I don't want to put either one of you into a weird spot, but Matt Money Smith, voice of the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm going to start with you, Money. What insight do you have to these rumors that the Chargers are are London bound. I don't even know when. I didn't take enough time to see because I didn't buy.
No, it was a ridiculous article.
That they would do that. It makes it, how would they extract themselves from anyway? Right. Yeah. From the stadium.
I mean, I'll just tell you from their point. I lobbed out not a snarky, but just kind of a fun way to broach the subject with a couple of the higher ups there at the top. And I said, so do I need to buy like a moped and a flat and stuff? And when look at schools and they were upset. They were legitimately upset. They feel like, hey, this is, forget about the early part of the season. Our team is kind of rolling right now. We've got a Thursday game. This is the last thing that we need. We have no clue where this could be coming from. And we will likely put out a very forceful statement.
And they did.
And
Dean Spanos indeed did that. So they were.
I love that.
They were
the
pretty.
Way.
And just kind of for people that maybe don't know, I like Vinny. Vinny was very kind of, Vinny Bonsignor, who wrote the article for The Athletic, kind of came on the scene here because he was pretty deep into the relocation of the Rams coming to LA and had a lot of that stuff right and had laid out things before they became public. So clearly he's got an insight. And it is my opinion that his insight comes from the front office of the Rams. I don't know why the Rams would want him to write that article. But
you don't.
I'll
just leave it at that, and I will say it was a very interesting author for an article that took a shot at another LA team, as both teams are a bit embattled here as they try to cultivate a fan base in a market that had no team for 25 years and still has a ton of fans of all 32 teams that they try to figure out. So I understand why the Chargers were so upset.
I do too, but I also, it's an unsatisfying answer, sort of like, well, got to wait and see with Cam Newton. The Chargers and
they're
the
not
NFL.
Going anywhere.
The Chargers and NFL, unfortunately or otherwise, the fact is, you have to wait this out. It'll be a slow burn. You drop a team into a metropolis with so many transients, like we've talked about before, who bring their loyalties from their football town. They're not going to overnight say like, oh, well, now there's a team closer to me than the one I brought with me. Then, well, now I'm that team. That's not going to happen.
Right.
It's going to start with younger kids.
They're kids.
Kids, and it's going to take, 5 to 12 years, you would think, until those people ripen a little bit, and they will be supporting the local blue and gold team, whichever one it is, or perhaps both. Hanson,
right. Well, and by the way, that would be the same in London as well. The NFL fans in London are
very much like the NFL fans in LA.
Exactly. We've been playing games there for 12, 13 years now. I think 250,000 people went through the turnstiles of 4 games over the last 6 weeks or so in London. And they're all fans of an NFL team already, so you'd be talking the same story. Is London ready to be the home of an NFL team? I certainly believe so. I think they could support an NFL team, and I think you see the fans.
Oh, it certainly seems so.
The people
so,
who
right.
show up to Tottenham and to Wembley for those games, and it's incredible. But there's no truth to this specific thing. It then comes down to, is it team? Is it more games? Like, how does that shake out?
You know,
like
about, go ahead.
It seems like the team thing is, and I don't want to put Hank in a tough spot here, but just for me looking at it, it's hard for me to follow the team thing. I mean, obviously travel, you're talking about 7.5 hours to your nearest game in New York. And then for me, the bigger issue is just taxes.
Yeah.
As someone who kind of thinks about those sort of things, I don't know how they work the tax issue out for these hundreds of millions of dollars of income when, the London top tax rate's probably somewhere around 50%.
Yep.
The U.S. is not going to want to let those tax revenues go, so now you've got an issue there. And then you've got the NFLPA that says, oh, yeah, we're just going to uproot these 53 guys and take them overseas.
Nothing could be done without it being part of the next CBA.
Right.
Those two are definitely legitimate issues. I think the big one is playoff scheduling. Like, you can plan on when you host teams and plan bye weeks and all that stuff around it, but if a London team grabs the 6th wildcard berth and then has to schedule 5 days later a game in London at a stadium they share with a soccer team, there's just, and in a time zone that isn't going to work for a primetime game here, there's just those type of logistical hurdles have not been addressed yet. So the we're not ready to be able to do that. From a fan base
What about Mexico City then?
Similar types of issues, I think, on the tax front. It certainly hasn't been explored to the same extent in Mexico City as it has been in London with regards to a franchise. I think there would be.
I think it'd
there,
be
there,
so
there are logistical hurdles, but the biggest one. Sorry to just finish it. The biggest one is you need an owner that wants to make that commitment. That's what's missing, and until that happens, it's not going to happen.
I think about it. Money is a smarter fella than I. I think about it from a dim fan's point of view. It seems to me that everybody, as opposed to Los Angeles or New York City, an American metropolis, in the case of professional football, London is obviously a metropolis itself. But I think in the case of pro football, if you said, this is your new team, everybody would drop their previous affiliations and rally around that team, or the vast majority would.
Do you think they would do that?
I think they would. I think it takes time to put roots down. No, I mean, you said exactly the same thing about the Chargers. You are right.
Yeah, but
the team would arrive there, and I don't think, you know, if I'll put myself in my seat as a fan in the UK, I would still be a Dolphins fan so long as they haven't decided to tank the season. But I would still be a Dolphins fan primarily. But yeah, they would swiftly become, and I think that's true of the Jags, given the commitment they made in London, swiftly become a number two team. And I think over time, you might adopt them. But it for the same reason that the Chargers are seeing that in LA, it's not going to be day one. Everyone just suddenly wearing a London Chargers jersey.
All right, what do you think, fellas? Good stuff, Handsome. Good stuff, Money.
Thanks,
with the
Dave.
Insights there.
Thank you, Dave.
I also enjoyed hearing about those Rams. We'll talk more about them right now as we jump into Week 10. It's time for the Red Challenge Flag Picks. Sing everybody behind there.
Red Challenge Flag Picks!
Yes. Woo, woo. I didn't really hear everybody on the other side of the table
bit.
Over there.
Especially Mark Brady.
Yeah, Mark Brady came up.
And he's got a great voice as well. I know.
He's
like a
torch
singer.
Himself,
he really, you should hear his Strangers in the Night. It is something.
Oh, I forgot to bring this up for the people watching this on video. And by the way, if you're just listening to us, we appreciate it. By the way, we put out the call for more ears and to see who was watching. We are on YouTube every week. This is our streaming show. It also goes up on YouTube. But we got a lot more ears than we got eyes. So if you're listening now, you can also watch it, like I say, on YouTube at your leisure.
Not a fan.
This week, I forgot to mention this. I want everybody behind the table to vote, too, as one. You all count as one vote in the Red Challenge Flag picks this week. By the way, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but this emerging weird controversy, the rivalry between you and your countryman, Andrew Raby. Why?
I mean, I've been nothing
all the
shots? But
he
pleasant
tracks
to
the
him.
Red Challenge Flag picks for us, and he
I'd
posts
be fine
them
if he
on
didn't,
Twitter.
By the way, I'd be all right if he didn't track them right now.
I've been nothing but pleasant. I apologized last week. I congratulated him on counting it correctly. And then this week, he immediately comes at me and took a shot at me. And then I go in there. First of all, after he did it, the numbers weren't in there, so I wasn't able to check it. Mm. When he finally uploaded the counting that he had done, I was half a game off 500. I did the second best out of all of us. Congratulations, Eddie, who did the best.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
By the way, I think, much like, we are a culture of tipping, where instead of owners of businesses picking up the tab for their employees, we, the customer, are forced to do so. We are shamed. And I'm fine tipping. I worked in service, so I'm all good with it. It's fine. I would prefer they just bake those prices in and do it themselves. But why is Andrew Raby doing the Red Challenge Flag Picks? Why is Eddie not doing the Red Challenge Flag Picks tally? Why is he not running a website?
It's a tradition as old as time, or at least as old as black tie. You know,
black tie, yes, that I understand.
Black tie wasn't going to do it.
No, he wasn't going to do it.
Coming through black tie.
MVP couldn't be bothered, and now Eddie Spaghetti. He's just following the lead.
Yeah.
You see?
I would do it.
I know you would, Eddie.
Established. Didn't he send us like a plaque too, or that's someone else? Didn't he send something, or he sent a pie, or he was?
Yeah,
like,
he sent. Yeah,
he's been a listener.
What
forever.
Was it? Was it a plaque or was it a pie?
I can't remember. Eddie ate it anyway. It
he
doesn't
sent
matter.
All right, let's get into it here. Where I started with the Buffalo Bills. All right, they're probably going to make the playoffs. And by the way, for the record, I would love to see the Bills win the Lombardi Trophy. I think it would be, if any fan base outside of the Pittsburgh Steelers could see their team hoist the Lombardi this year, I would love to see that. And I don't think it's going to be the Steelers. I'd love to see the Bills break through and win a Super Bowl. I think they're in some real peril here if they don't win this game. And they are the Browns are 2-6. They should lose this game, and yet I have a hunch that it's going to be the Browns. Well, who cares what I think? Let's get into it now. Matt Money Smith, Bills, Browns. Choose. I've kind of tipped where I'm going. Speaking of tipping.
You're homeless, Baker Mayfield, the buck, the mustache.
I think they still have Odell Beckham on their team.
Beckham says yep.
Little
yeah.
evidence
it was
that
his
would
birthday
prove that.
As well, this week, so maybe he's excited
yeah,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'll go Browns.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, I mean, we'll why not? Browns. I'll throw it.
Okay.
All right, make
Anyone
your
else?
Case, Hanson.
Table,
I mean,
table, Eddie? Throw the flag.
I'm going Browns.
You're going Browns. Yeah. All right, show of hands behind the table there. If we have a camera on it, otherwise it'll be pretty unsatisfying.
Yeah, that's not going to get. I don't see anything right for the podcast or for TV. Dave.
True enough. Let's skip that idea.
But there are people waving their hands. I don't know.
I don't
what,
know which
I don't
side
know
that
for.
Is. Yeah, no, there we go. Are those hands for the Browns? I'm guessing.
Bills.
Oh, these are for the Bills. All right, all right so Hanson, make the case for the Bills supporters.
Well, I just brought up the name Black Tie. And so I'm going to, on him, because of him, one of his favorite things was body language. Mm. And I'm just going on, like, on Cleveland's body language right now. Baker looking a little defeated last week. Odell Beckham pouting. Jarvis Landry.
Most pathetic thing I've ever seen him at the podium after the game.
Ooh, most pathetic. I mean,
well, it was pretty sad.
It was pretty sad. Odell pouting a bit.
He looked like the Hulk after he turns back into Bruce Banner.
Right.
That's kind of what he looked like.
He's a bit like...
Who's that, Baker?
Baker at the podium after the game.
Looked like Uncle Buck. I mean, yeah.
I said he looks a little bit like Greg Rosenthal.
Yeah.
That's how much his spirit has
There's
shrunk.
Your winner. Right. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't get much worse than that. So just from a coaching standpoint, like Freddie Kitchens, they're undisciplined, and I'm not talking about people wearing different shoes. I don't care about that stuff. But just in terms of penalties, doing dumb stuff, I don't think you can turn that. I don't think that's a case of an offense or a defense that's just not playing well, but they're going to get it right. I just don't think that they're a well-coached team. I don't think they're ready for games, and I don't see why they would be more ready for a game against the Bills, who are a good team, and especially on defense, are smart enough to know how to take away the things that Cleveland should be able to do and to give Baker more fits, to make him pout even more, to compound what's happening. So that's why I would pick the Bills.
See if you buy this money. My reasoning is that Nick Chubb, it's a practical one. I completely agree with everything you've said.
Are you going Bills or are you going Browns?
I'm taking the Browns.
Okay. So you and
I think
Browns.
As long as they have the good sense to take a look at where the Bills have struggled the last couple of weeks. You know the Bills are thinking, boy, we better get this run defense square. We're in some real trouble. They go get Leggett to try and fix that. That won't work.
Corey Leggett?
Leggett?
Legit. Always been legit.
Legit.
It's legit?
Yeah.
Legit.
That's the legit
I'm pretty sure
way
that
he
was legit.
Not at U of I. It was always legit.
Legit.
It's, yeah. I think it's probably should be like.
I'm going to stab you
something.
In the thigh.
I'm just saying.
All right. Either way, they go get him, and that's not going to fix anything. I know from having watch his body of work, if not learn his name pronunciation. But anyway, yeah. Why he's available in advance of week 10. You know the Bills, that's going to be their mindset. As long as they say, let's attack that and see what they have, and then that sets up then Baker to throw it to Odell Beckham. But if it goes the other way around, I'm with you completely, Hanson. This is bad now, the optics of Baker in the post game. And then at the end of the first half on the national broadcast, that's at least when we find out, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham have to change their shoes at halftime because they're doing that. I don't want to get up on Mount Pius about it. I don't care if individualism and everything else. I support it in the NFL and outside. But it is weird. It is kind of weird. It's kind of like, really, fellas, this is what you're doing. You're dealing with what's on your feet instead of, making plays with those feet. I think that this could get, as bad as it looks now, even worse. It could get really cross. We know Odell Beckham. You can feel he's within an inch of blowing up. You can tell that that it's about to be a big conflict between him and Baker and the rest of it. So Baker's going to be incented. I got to get the ball to Odell. As long as they time that right, I think you're going to see him targeted, and I think he's going to make a play. And they should be able to run on
it's
that.
It's a tough one. I mean, the Bills have beat bad teams, and that's what's been on their schedule, and they've beat them pretty darn well. The one thing I think about is just how good Nick Chubb's been. And you mentioned, last week watching Adrian Peterson run all over him, a week after Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard ran all over him, and now they get Kareem Hunt back. you know, and now you can just kind of have no rest. If Chubb's coming off the field, here comes Kareem Hunt.
Right.
So I just kind of look at it that way, where maybe it's just a bad matchup this week for the Bills. It won't surprise me to see the Browns go on like a three-game run here, you know, just to get the people excited again, and they finish 7-9, and they're excited for next year, and then they get their, you know, heart ripped.
As recently as a month ago, was kind of big on Josh Allen. What's everybody missing here? I'm not obsessed by accuracy as much as smart football people are. I'm fine if you have other things that offset it. But it's kind of that. Him spraying the ball around is not a good plan against that secondary. Right. Those guys will make him pay for that. So I think it amounts to a Browns win. But it is also weird that it's 6-2 versus 2-6. And it feels like a lot of people who are wise about football are still saying, like,
something sticks in Cleveland.
It's rotten.
If that's what it looks like on game day, behind the scenes, it's got to be worse than that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, by the way, to back up just a minute, I'm glad you support individualism in a room with three middle or upper middle-aged men wearing exactly the same outfits.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but you're from England, so variation.
He's got a beard.
Diversity.
Right. He's got a beard.
Right.
Yep. I got a pot belly. Yep. We got all kinds of everything shapes going. And sizes.
I've got bird legs.
Origins. That's right. That's exactly right. Nope. Next up, a Super Bowl 14 redo. If you haven't heard, those two teams once played each other.
Is that right?
Punctuated by John Stallworth touchdown pass.
Yep.
It is the Rams, the defending NFC champs, playing at the flawed but suddenly 4-4, crawled out of a 1-4 hole. Pittsburgh Steelers in Heinz Field. Handsome Hank. Choose.
This is a difficult one.
Is it now? Because remember how we all laughed a week ago? You said, "Well, nobody's going to do. You're not going to take the Steelers over the mighty Colts," and everybody scoffed at me.
Jacoby Brissett got hurt.
You shamed me out of it.
Jacoby Brissett got hurt.
Exactly.
Okay, so if the Colts and Rams played on a neutral site, you would take the Colts.
If the Colts and Rams played on a neutral
site,
I might.
Yeah, I probably would. Yeah.
Okay, pick this one, handsome.
I'm going to take the Rams. Okay. I don't love the pick, but I'm going to take it anyway.
Yeah, I don't love it either, but I'm going to take them.
Spaghetti?
Rams all the way.
Hands?
All the way.
Rams. Disembodied hands. Everybody's
all
taking the Rams.
The way.
I like that. I'm going to complete it. Yeah. I like when everybody goes.
Oh, really?
I like unanimity.
You don't mean it. You don't mean it.
Yes, I do. I would have taken.
No, you don't.
I absolutely.
Dave, I've seen you do this for 4 or 5 years.
I have absolutely taken the Rams
in
this game.
You do not mean that. What, this is a whole thing where you can be, then you protect your fragile heart from
A vision of Dave driving home.
Yeah.
You know, I put Hayward in there. I mean, that middle of that line is pretty soft.
Pressure's off me because I took the Rams.
Dave,
I win either way now.
You tell us why the Rams are going to win. Because now at least you've got to go through the pain of explaining.
Great call. All right. Great call,
all right.
Why the Rams are better than the Steelers.
This is in the abstract. This has nothing to do with any of the matchups.
No,
could have thrown a flag.
This is why I took the Packers to lose to the Chargers.
Why do the Rams win?
Why do the Rams win?
I'm telling you why.
Why are the Rams so much better at the Steelers then?
I had nothing to do with so much better. Listen, the reason I said that the Cardinals would lose, but they would make it a ball game. They lost by 3 at San Francisco. I said that they would lose by 3. I also said the Packers would lose.
All we want is the Rams. That's all we want to know about. Rams, Steelers.
Because unlike you and your fancy football friends, I am a three-dimensional human being, and I understand the way the human mind works, you see. And at some point, the Steelers are going to look at it, incented as they are to continue digging out of the hole. Surely they looked at that.
What is he talking about?
Money, what are you doing?
I'm telling you.
Talking about.
They didn't need. They don't need to get
the game.
They don't need this.
Tell us why the Rams are better than the Steelers.
Aaron Donald is going to live in Mason Rudolph's chest.
That's not going to be a problem for Big Mace.
That is why.
Well, I think we all would have said
Dante Fowler is going to live in his ear hole.
You know why we thought the Colts? You know why we thought the Colts were going to win? It wasn't Jacoby Brissett.
I don't care about the Colts.
We thought it was
because
Quentin Nelson was going to dominate. Instead, he got dominated by Cam Hayward.
So you think the Steelers are going to win?
That offensive line in Pittsburgh is no job.
Why are you telling me about the Steelers? You just picked the Rams.
We asked you why the Rams are going to win, not why the Steelers are going to win.
Go and
they
pick
should
the
be able to cover up.
Do what you want to do.
They
throw the flag at me.
Throw the flag.
Just throw it.
Throw it.
You know
just
why?
Just throw it.
Do it.
And Sean McVay, I won't do it. Sean McVay. Sean McVay has had a fortnight to prepare for this game. The Rams have to have this one, or they're in
so
dire straits.
So do the Steelers.
Steelers I don't have think to have it.
I don't think they're looking at it that way. I think the Rams see we must have are. This game.
You know what, guys? We don't really need this one.
Money.
This isn't an important one.
Come on.
Hey, Mason, don't play as well as you can.
Throw it.
Just the Steelers have already won two at home. They're just not feeling desperate. They're not feeling desperate. Drink. They're feeling
you'll
nice
feel
right now.
I don't think it's ridiculous to throw the flag.
I found it a difficult pick. I was about to pick the Steelers.
I agree. I wouldn't laugh in somebody's face if they said they think the Steelers are going to win. Why do you think the Rams are going to win, Money?
I think it's going to be close. And I'll take Sean McVay, Jared Goff, and that group over Mason Rudolph. I'm not a Mason Rudolph guy.
Wait a second. You don't think that Minka Fitzpatrick's going to be?
No, I do think Minka Fitzpatrick will probably have a pick because I think Jared Goff is going to be under duress. Look, I'm tempted to take the Steelers. I am.
Obviously
Todd Gurley's
not
right. Daryl Henderson's completely irrelevant. Jared Goff made us forget, and he barely made us forget, by the way, that he's not had a good year, that the numbers are there, but when you really kind of break it down, there are a lot of errant throws. He's not good under duress.
No, I agree with that.
And you can see, just look at some of the teams that have fallen to the Steelers, what happens when you get under duress.
I think they made a great mistake.
That's why you should have thrown it.
Let's see if Jared Goff can turn things around. One thing to watch, the thing that I will call you up and I'll make a public announcement, I talked to the old man last night.
Yeah.
Frigid temps are expected in the next couple days.
Is that right?
If it stays cold, legitimately, Jared Goff has proven he does not like being out in the cold. He is a classic California boy. I think that would be the thing that would make me say, all right, maybe Pittsburgh will get this team.
Who's more likely to wilt in the face of, because look, the Rams defense is good. At least that front is with Donald. Who's more likely to wilt is the question. Is it Rudolph? Right. Or is it Goff?
If they were under equal and extreme amounts of duress,
yes.
Give me neither. Neither one has shown proclivity to survive a pass rush. Eddie Spaghetti.
Well, it's a week where James Conner is banged up and Benny Snell's banged up and Jalen Samuels was banged up. And then you have Juju who can't separate versus the Colts. How is he going to separate himself from Jalen Ramsey?
Some good analysis.
I don't think Mason
Rudolph. You know what?
By the way, I led in picks last
week. Do me a favor.
Get that on
my resume tape and get it over to the fan. I want to throw my hat in a ring.
I hear Francesca's
dog. I want to cut that up and put it on my tape that I'm sending off to the fan later today. Huh?
Anyway, don't trust Mason Rudolph. I'm with money on that one. So
there we go.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph is not turning the corner as quickly as I would like him to.
I thought he would. But it doesn't matter. He's going to have the chance next year when Roethlisberger's in Tampa.
That's right.
Oh, stop it. Now, let's move on to the Panthers and the Packers. Eddie Spaghetti, Carolina, up in Lambeau. Choose.
I have been on a Panthers kick recently. I almost
did
take them, but I'm going to come
what
off
What do you mean
the
you
train.
Almost did?
You either take them or you
you're
don't.
You're now about to.
Yes or no? Panthers, Packers, choose.
I'm taking Green Bay Packers at home.
Yeah.
Nobody going to throw?
No.
Nobody? Nobody behind there?
What?
Wow.
We have a Panthers from the table? Anyone want to join the Panthers call from the table?
No.
What do we think? What do you think Aaron Rodgers was alluding to? I know that people, what do they call it? The Hollywood flu? What do they call that in the NBA when guys play on Sundays and then they go out
on
Saturday?
They go out Saturday until 3 a.m.
Hollywood flu is what it's called?
That actually just happened in Miami.
It's the Miami flu is typically what it's referring to.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
I get the sense that that's what Aaron Rodgers was insinuating. Have you heard his remarks?
Yeah.
We said, we got to change the way we approach these games in the 48-hour window and lead up. We got to change our habits. In that, is that what he was getting at? I mean, I don't know.
They came here a day early to L.A.
They did come. They got here Friday.
So it's very possible that's what he was suggesting.
Get after
it. Some of the young guys went and had some good times.
Did
you see any of them out and about? I know Eddie's kind of our man around town.
Oh.
Packers players out in town on Friday or Saturday night?
Saturday night, no. I was with the MVP and company out in Santa Monica. No Chargers or Packers in sight. So
okay.
Where were you in Santa Monica? At some hip club or no?
A club? No, I'm not a club guy. It was a bar. It's called the Victorian on Main Street. It's like a humongous house.
Sounds pretty fancy to me.
Does. No, it
sounds like the kind of place the Packers could have been show hanging up. Out.
Spaghetti. You sure you didn't see Aaron Jones?
I did not. No, I didn't see no Devontae.
No Bakhtiari chugging beers, having a good time, high fiving his favorite QB.
He saw Aaron Rodgers. He went up to him.
By him again.
He put a finger in his chest and he said, "You're no Danny Dimes, bub." And then he took a swing at him. Why are you trying to punch Aaron Rodgers?
I told Rashawn Gary I could block him. I said, "Give me your best."
There you go.
Listen,
it didn't go well.
I think the
that
Packers,
was the end of my night.
This is you watch. This is the game. Maybe he'll feel nice for this week. Kyle Allen will like, oh, now it's all in my hands. I think now it is in his hands, and the enormity of that going up to Lambeau, we kind of need this game if we reasonably want to get into the postseason here. I know there are plenty of games left, but still, you know 5-4 with you looking up at the number of teams that are ahead of them, it gets a lot bleaker against that secondary. Hey, look, I bet you this is the one everybody keeps pointing to. His efficiency, the fact that he doesn't turn it over. I refer you to what happened when they played a real team up in San Francisco 2 weeks ago. I think it's
pretty
similar to that result.
Right.
Maybe not that kind of a whip.
Not to spend
still
too much time on a game that was a clean sweep. But I would just say, look out, because McCaffrey's an MVP candidate, and the Chargers got pushed. They got pushed with a backup center. Rotating in, you know, for still getting back into the swing of things, Russell Okung. And every snap, they got pushed, and that's how Austin Ekeler and Melvin Gordon put up 160 yards combined. And on those two goal line runs, you saw that offensive line get a 3-yard push into the end zone for their backs. And if you can do that with Christian McCaffrey now in the open field, look, Aaron Rodgers can talk about the 48-hour prep, but, man, that dude has got to get rid of the ball. It's like, I get it. You have got tremendous arm talent, and you are waiting for that shot down the field, you know, that everyone's going to celebrate you for because you're so great, and you've got this awesome, you know, cannon attached to your shoulder. But if Bakhtiari and Bulaga aren't the same, you got to get rid of that.
You
got to
get
thing.
Rid of it quickly.
You cannot right. keep putting them in that position, and he did it the entire game against Kansas City and got sacked, I don't know, what was it, 5-6 times, and did it the entire game against the Chargers.
I do definitely look at him over the last couple of weeks, as well as he's playing and as many of those sensational throws as he makes. He's clearly won the argument with Matt LaFleur, where it's like, no, I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
And at the moment, that debate is over. Whether that gets reopened if they continue losing is a different matter.
As we forecasted a week ago, the two banged up tackles going against Bosa and Ingram, you had said didn't have to be a genius after seeing the way they looked together up in Chicago that those two were going to wreck. But Davante Adams, he had a volume of catches but didn't have any real plays in there. That's the X factor. If Davante Adams is out there with the emergence of Aaron Jones, there should be more than enough for the Packers to be dangerous deep into January, legitimately. And the other side of it is, I know if they get pushed around in January, that's more prominent, a bigger issue. But I do think that the pass rush is there, and I still love that secondary. Best in the NFC, and with the possible exception of the Ravens, maybe the best in the NFL.
But they're super, super vulnerable in the middle of the field. Like, crazy vulnerable. Hunter Henry, I think he had, 7 catches for, 90 yards. There was not a defender within 5 yards of him on any of those. Hmm. They just kept running him out of that inside slot on the over routes, and he was just wide open the whole game long. And the Chiefs did it with Travis Kelce. So they still got, I still got to figure that out. I mean, Blake Martinez is a tackling machine at linebacker, but I think they still have to figure out what's going wrong in the middle of the field because teams are wrecking them there.
Let's move on
to
a couple of teams that played in the 1975 divisional round.
Is that
it
right?
Required a Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson Hail Mary to vanquish up in the Met to break the hearts once again of long-suffering Vikings fans. It's the Vikings at the Cowboys this time around. Whose turn is it? It's yours, right? Spaghetti right. just went. Matt Money Smith, Vikes, Cowboys, traditional NFC rivals, choose.
I'm going to take the Vikings.
Ooh, I don't like that. I'm going to throw the red challenge flag at that one. Spaghetti.
I'm holding it.
Is going to stick
it.
There. Go ahead, Handsome Hank, break it down. Well, why do you have the home team?
Because we've been talking about this is essentially, if things go according to what we were discussing, this is the two potential fifth or sixth seeds in the NFC going head-to-head. The Cowboys are at home. This is a Kirk Cousins.
This could be a Kirk Cousins special.
You've got to have it. And to your point, whenever he's got to have it, he hasn't had it. And
he also doesn't have Adam Thielen.
He doesn't. That's a great point as well.
Stephon Diggs came back to earth last week, hasn't ever quite established that chemistry with Kyle Rudolph, but Dalvin Cook is special.
Dalvin Cook is special, but do we get Leighton Van Der Esch back this week?
I'm not sure about that. What I do like, though, is it's very quiet. It's been an issue for the Cowboys. Then they get Amari Cooper, and Michael Gallup kind of sort of emerges a year ago. And you think, like, he could be a fine number two. And now they have him and Randall Cobb and everything else. I like the stunning 2019 season of Jason Witten. I cannot imagine that guy can be relevant in the NFL after taking a year off. It's kind of the old Maurice Jones-Drew take of – he was never super athletic to begin with, so right, it's not so like he's not lost anything. That's who we always.
He's a Jason Kidd.
Yeah, he was always an old man. So I guess that's fine. But either way, I kind of like what Dak has to work with, and of course, it all revolves around that offensive line and Zeke. And I love the. I really do like the defense to get better and better. Yep. I don't know why it wasn't performing that well, but they're through the worst part of their schedule. The Cowboys. I think that they get it going here and they knock the Vikes down.
Yeah, I mean, I think. You look at the game last week, and it was weird, right? It was just kind of like, what? So this is the game the defense decides not to show up? And a lot of that's a product of Andy Reid, you know, and his brilliance as a play caller and putting a guy like Matt Moore in a position to believe, A, he can succeed, and B, he does succeed. But there were a couple fluky plays in there, and obviously the most inopportune time. And I don't know how much of it's on Kirk and how much of it is on the play calling, but, you know, you go three and out the one time you've got, and then you shank a punt. And that's what leads to a game-winning field goal. And I wonder if, in fact, they do go to Kansas City and get that win if we're having the same conversation. So it's a lot of ifs, and I hate playing that game. But I just there's something about the Cowboys that I don't know. There's people that are going to die on Cowboys Hill this season. They just feel like they belong in the conversation as the elites, and I just don't.
It's funny. I think it's the exact opposite. Yeah. I think it's already there are plenty of signs to be excited about, but you see room to grow, and I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're just now starting to get it going, and only it's the fact
that it comes back to health.
So, like the three quarters against the Giants of just – kind of being blown.
I talked to a lot of Giants fans. Spaghetti, a lot of Giants fans told me that was the game that this Giants would show up for. That was the one, Monday Night Football, that they had a sense having watched that team. And I do buy what the locals say. People who are intense about their team, they're the most negative. That's the one that they pointed to and said, you watch, the Giants will do well there. Right, Spaghetti?
Well, I told you that I picked against them.
I know, but that they would give him a game. You thought it was going to be tight?
I thought that there was a chance.
No, I didn't.
I thought there was a chance that...
Put that on my reel, too.
That Daniel Jones... I just wanted a game where he looked competent without making mistakes, and I was just hoping that with Ingram back and healthy until he got hurt again, and then Saquon another week, you know, from the ankle injury, but it ended up going poorly for them, and to parlay this into the... Vikings game. I mean, I agree with money. Like, the Cowboys were in the beginning of the fourth quarter, the Giants were in that game, and the Vikings are just a way better version of the Giants. Like, Dalvin Cook healthy, better than Saquon right now. The defensive line for the Vikings, like, Danielle Hunter is probably the most underrated defensive player in football. Even with feeling out, that Kyle Rudolph got in the mix, and they have Irv Smith as well, and like I think there's enough there. Kirk Cousins is due to have a good primetime game, so that's why I'm going with him.
I would keep on waiting for that.
He sure is. Yeah. He's about 5 years overdue.
And money, you're exactly right. Again, I keep saying prisoners of the moment and look at the last result you get. If the Vikings win last week in Arrowhead, the story is, well, the Vikings are maybe going to the Super Bowl at 7-2. And conversely, the Chiefs are 5-4. They've lost four games in Arrowhead. They would be doomed. Everybody would be talking about the Chargers. It's just a matter of when, not if. And the Raiders are going to beat them out, too. Anyhow, this is what we have. I say Cowboys. My stomach is growling. I don't know if you can hear it on the microphone.
It's very loud.
So let's wrap it up here with behind, I dare say, Ravens Steelers, the second best rivalry of the 21st century. It's the Seahawks paying a visit to the undefeated San Francisco 49ers. Handsome Hank. Choose.
Dave, I'm going to predict that Don Shula, Larry Zonka, Paul Warfield, Jim Langer, Larry Little from Beyond the Grave will be popping bottles on Monday night.
Bang! I'm going to pop you with a red challenge flag right now.
I am too.
I'm going to take the Niners at home. Money, yeah, why don't you explain why? Spaghetti, you're taking the Seahawks.
The Seahawks are squeaking out these wins against, you know, middling teams.
Squeak out another one.
They're two worst games, but the Bengals week one and against
like,
the Bucs.
But like middling teams that they're kind of, you know, allowing like the Bucs offense had no business doing that sort of damage on the road against the 12s. And yet here we were, you know, needing a miracle fourth quarter run from Russell Wilson to get a victory. I totally believe in this 49er team. I do. I believe in the defense, obviously. And I think the offense is starting to come around. And I believe in Kyle Shanahan as a play caller. If it were in Seattle, obviously, I'd feel different about it. But I think at San Francisco, even though they're not going to go undefeated, I think this is the one they win. I think they lose to the Rams at home. I think they lose to the Seahawks on the road and end up with three or four losses when it's all said and done. But for whatever reason, I just feel like coming off that game against Tampa, maybe seeds of doubt planted in the heads of, man, this defense just ain't quite right. It's not the Seattle defense we're used to. This season has been predicated on MVP, like, unequivocal MVP level play from Russell Wilson. And I don't know if that flies against the defense this good.
That's exactly right. I 100% am with everything that you just laid out there.
But
no, I got the Niners, and their offensive line is getting healthy. And because of the brand name and what we associate with the Seahawks and 49ers rivalry is great defense. The Seahawks don't have a great defense. No. You can push them around, and I think that's what's going to happen. Now, if Russell Wilson comes out fast and you get to the second half and the Seahawks have the lead, then I would flip my opinion on it, because then if you can start getting the two pass rushers, that's what they're looking to have happen optimally, then I do think that maybe Jimmy G would be – it'll be interesting to see in this spot, because this is – they've won a number – other teams have had – would need just one of these wins. The Browns, for instance, they whip the Ravens, and they've lived off of that for 6 weeks now. The Niners have vanquished big-time teams in big spots, and yet people don't buy them, and I think it's because of Jimmy G at this point.
Yeah, he's got to be better.
He does, but he was very good last week.
Now, I know the obvious case for the Seahawks. I'm assuming you're going to make the point here of why you like the Seahawks.
I mean, it comes down to Russell Wilson. Right. I do think he will come out first.
He's the T-1000, man.
Just look what Kyler Murray did, you know, and how he was able to have success against that defense by moving the pocket, by being able, you know, using athleticism to move away from the rush and buy himself some time. And, you know, Russell Wilson is, you know, 20 times the quarterback that Kyler Murray is right now in the NFL.
The worst thing if you're playing Russell Wilson is just that sense of – how many times do you watch a game and you're objective about what the result is either way, and you're watching it and there's just a sense of, okay, the other team's going to win this game, and there's just something about Russell Wilson that is that kind of like, we never quit and all that usually empty kind of rhetoric, but there's something about it that you just watch like, you just never
stop. Every single word
of
that, and his teammates believe every single word of that.
Yeah, you've
dealt
with him. I mean, you've been around him a fair amount.
Yeah. He believes that stuff. I mean, those aren't just sound bites. That's what he thinks will happen. And he is close with those receivers and everything, and they believe it as well. They believe he can pull it out anytime.
Because if that guy's right and you got him and Lockett and Metcalf, holy heck.
I don't want to be, I don't want to be too cynical about it, but would the Patriots really part ways with him if... I mean, it was just, we're just not going to hold on to him here, desperate as they are.
If you get him for one game, and that game happens to be against the team that's undefeated at the top of your division, and he's that Josh Gordon.
And he has 220 yards receiving.
It's not last year. It was 2 years ago when I saw him make his debut with the Browns coming off suspension against the Chargers in that building, and he was the best football player I saw all season. I was like, man, that ain't fair. Just that guy is, it's not fair. If he's right.
In a season when
that,
Casey
he's done that on several occasions where it's been his first game back.
Right.
And he's just blown up.
It'll be interesting. But like I say, the red flag is up for me on that one. Why did the Patriots let him go when they're as desperate for a wide receiver as they are? Eddie Spaghetti, final thoughts?
I'm sticking with the Seahawks on the road. The 49ers are due for a loss, and I kind of like what you guys were talking about before with the mobile quarterback thing, and Kyler had a good game. It's just like he's – well, yeah, Russell Wilson's not going to stand in the pocket and let Nick Bosa take his head off. And I think – not that I think Josh Gordon's going to come be what he was of old, but even Josh Gordon as number three behind Lockett and DK Metcalf, who's like sneakily having the most productive rookie season out of all receivers, I think there's enough there, and Russell Wilson is my vote for MVP.
Well, I'll say this. If Money and I are right, it's a wrap on the NFC West, way ahead of schedule. I thought they would win the division, but if they, by a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, have wrapped up the NFC West, yikes.
You know, can I...
In spite of Jimmy G, who is, I mean, on par with Kirk Cousins. I know Kyle Shanahan saw it that way. That's how good this defense and rush attack is.
Can I plant a seed for future Dave Damashek football program podcasts?
Yes, you may.
I think what we need to do moving forward, and let me try it here. I think every week we have to help Eddie get his reel together.
Yes.
And I think we should plant, like, we're callers, and he's taking the place of Mike Francesa.
That's a great idea.
And he's got to, like, so here we go. You ready? Because, you know, you hear the phone ring on the radio. So I'll be Frank from Staten Island. All right, here we go. Go ahead, Eddie.
All right, Frank, what's going on?
Hey, how about showing some energy, number one, you bum? Number two, try this on. Tell me what you think here. How about Sam Darnold for Danny Dimes? Who says no? Go.
The Giants will hang up the phone just like I'm hanging up on you. Thanks. Goodbye, another clown. Daniel Jones has showed a lot more than Sam Darnold has. I do think Gase is part of the problem, but they'll fix it in the offseason. They'll give Darnold one more year in New York.
Put it on my reel. See what I mean?
I know. Well, now, see, now the world of possibilities is running through my head right now, but we better cut it off there.
I'm sorry to do that, but I don't want to forget. I'd like to spend next week.
I'd like to spend the next hour doing that.
Right.
Just letting Eddie Spaghetti, the new host on the fan, roll calls there in the tri-state area. All right. We appreciate you listening and or watching. Why not go ahead and do both? What's the difference?
What's wrong with
compare,
you?
Contrast. Build what you think we look like in your brain in the audio, then
it's gonna be a
pay
lot better.
It all off.
I do. I have had
a lot
that
better
a few
than putting
times
your eyes
like,
on us. That's for sure.
So handsome Hank wasn't what I expected, but I have no idea what.
Yeah,
what,
but you're handsome, and then people say like, "Oh, he is in fact handsome," and then people see me, and they're always like, "Wow." Based on your voice, you look very different, and that's really what do you think?
But people think your voice is annoying, generally.
So then they think,
so they're like, oh, he doesn't look as annoying as he sounds. I think that's a good thing.
He doesn't look like he's 67 years young and 78 pounds overweight.
I don't know about that. Yeah,
I don't like
late 50s.
I don't like the
worst
video part of this. My head's too small. I look like Beetlejuice.
Oh, you're a handsome devil.
Sitting up here, not at all.
All right.
Tiny head.
It is very small.
It's small.
Enjoy Thursday Night Football, Matt Money Smith. I'll see you on Friday. Looking forward to that. And we'll look forward to kibitzing with you after Week 10 in front of Week 11 to make sense of where the NFL season is headed. Until then, for Handsome Hank, Matt Money Smith, Eddie Spaghetti, everybody back there behind the counter, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.